Hallelujah. Glory. It's good to be back in the pulpit. Amen. And preaching the word. We have the grace for this. Hallelujah. We just love the word. You know, not in a million and 1 years when I went into ministry with my husband, did I ever think I'd be preaching? I just ran the show. He preached. Everything else around it, you know. But he pushed me. He kept telling me, you got a gift, you need to get in there, you need to share. I would share things with him and he'd say, you need to share that, you need to preach that. And here I am, amen? And I just love the word of God. Well, we're going to talk about the power of meditation. I don't know how long we're going to go with this, but honestly, I felt this on the way to California and on the way back, and the Holy Spirit has just been dealing with me with so many things because there are so many people that don't know the power of meditation or meditation on the Word of God, or they don't know or they don't realize it, or they've heard it, but they really haven't experienced it. Amen? And how important it is, and how it is God's plan and God's instructions and God's way for us to get into the promises of God and get into the plan of God and the way of God. Because, you know, we can preach on a lot of books, and many times we quote successful people or successful, we might quote from a different book, but there's no book more powerful than the Word of God. Amen? And that's where the power comes from. That's where the life comes. That's where the seeds come that will grow and nurture us. And so it's so important that we have these seeds and that we know how to plant them and we know how to see them grow and become fruitful in our life because God wants us to become fruitful. Amen? It's great to come to church every week. You know, I went to church growing up, but I never received anything. I never took the word of God and did anything. It's, you know, people sometimes, you know, going to church growing up was to us was that was the good thing to do. That was the feel-good thing that we did something for God. Whoopee-doo. But it's not just about going to church. God wants to change your life. God wants you to take his word and see your life transformed. But we have something to do with that. Amen? Hallelujah. So when we're talking about meditation, we're talking about transforming our beliefs in an accelerated manner using biblical meditation. And I know you might say, oh, that's weird, the word meditation is so weird, but it's in the Word of God, and we're going to show you. But let's stop and pray first. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we just, tonight, just like the song that we just sang, we just make room for you tonight. I pray for that spirit of wisdom and revelation. I pray that you speak to each and every one of us tonight and put in our hearts, reveal to us what we need. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's look at now Jeremiah 23:29. And God said this in Jeremiah 23:29. He said, is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces? If you don't know what God's word is, it's the Bible, just in case, okay? I'm reading out of here. But if you need to have a Bible, you need to have it on your iPhone, on your digital stuff, on your, you know, or a physical Bible. We got lots of physical Bibles at home that we read, different translations and so forth. But that's what the Word of God is. It is your Bible. And he said, it's not my Bible. It's not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces. You may have things in your life that are like a rock, that are like a mountain. It talks about speaking to the mountain in Mark, that are just not coming down. But the Word of God will bring them down. If you put the word to work in your life, it will bring them down. Amen. It'll tear the rock in pieces. It'll break it up. Whether it's a rock of depression or a rock of lack or a rock of healing, the word of God will break that up and bring the promises of God if you allow it to and you do something with it. Amen. I know we talk about the word of God and we quote it, you know, by the stripes of Jesus I'm healed or I'm blessed, but we're really not taking the time to meditate on God's word and get the revelation that God has for us so that we can see the manifestation of the promises. Amen. Let's look at Joshua 1:8. I'm reading this in the Amplified. It says it in almost all the translation, talks about meditation. says, this book of the law, Joshua. Now, Joshua was just taken over from Moses. He was going to take the children of Israel into the promised land. And if you read your Bible about the, you know, I've been reading the Old Testament. It's been part of my Bible reading recently. And I'm telling you, I read that and I'm like, God, you know, it just seems like they were so stubborn. They were just brats. And I just think, I wonder if God looks at us like that. Thank God for his mercy or his grace. You know, just wake up and do the right thing, you know. But they were just, and Moses had a rough time with them. Now Joshua's going to get in there. And he's probably thinking, are you kidding? Now I got to take this gang into the promised land. You know, if they didn't listen to you, Moses, what are they going to listen to me? But God says to Joshua this. God's talking to Joshua here. And he said, Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night that you may observe to do. Hold on a second. That you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Because you got to meditate on the word of God. So it brings faith. So you're able to do what God's word says to do. Amen? A lot of times you say, I just can't do that. But that's because you're not meditating on God's word. Because it'll give you the power to do what he's telling you to do. Amen? He said, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe and do according to all that is written in it. For then, look what he says, you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall deal wisely and have good success. This is one of the scriptures that I speak. I always pray for wisdom, and I always speak the scripture. It says, for it will cause me to deal wisely if I meditate on the word of God. How many of you want wisdom? How many of you want to deal wisely and you want to have good success? So he's saying, if you don't let the word depart from your mouth, in other words, you keep it in your mouth. You know, you keep God's word, you say God's word, you speak God's word, but you meditate on it day and night. Pastor Judy, how can we meditate on it day and night? I can tell you that I bet that you meditate, people are out there that meditate on worry day and night without even thinking about it. God wants us to get to the place where we're thinking on his word day and night, that we're not thinking on worry or fear or lack or sickness. But he's saying, if you'll meditate on my word day and night, you shall deal wisely and you will have good success. That's God's promise. You will be prosperous. He'll make your way prosperous. Nobody can make your way prosperous more than God can. Amen? And he's telling you, his word will make you prosperous. Let me tell you what meditate means. It means to ponder. It means to think about. It means to read it and confess it and to mutter it, to mutter the word of God. To learn the word of God and to mutter the word of God, to be a skilled person in the word of God. Now that, you know, that's the way you're going to end up believing it. This is the way God planned for you to believe what is impossible to be possible. You get that? When you begin to meditate on God's word and read it and believe it, you'll begin to believe that the things that seemed impossible, we could never buy a house. Or we could never, you know, this marriage is never going to work. Or I could never have the victory. You can say those things all the time. If you're thinking those things all the time, then you're meditating on the wrong stuff. You're thinking, you're muttering it. We were I don't know where we were, but just yesterday or this morning or something, and Pastor was talking about some of the things that we had to do, how we had a tight schedule next week, and he said, I don't know how we're going to do that, and he was just like, and I said, I just looked at him because I'm studying this. We preach to each other all the time, and I just said, you can't meditate on how can we make that happen. We just got to meditate on we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We can make a way, you know, and so it's so easy for all of us. I have to catch my thoughts all the time. To allow worry or fear or depression or just all kinds of stupid thoughts. Well, why meditate on those thoughts? Why not meditate on the Word of God? Why not meditate on we can do all things through Christ who strengthened us? Why not meditate that my God supplies all of my needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Why not meditate that oppression is far from me? Why not meditate on, I do not have a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind? That's the thing to think on. That's the thing to meditate. That's the thing to get out. Those are seeds that are so powerful. The Bible calls it, the Word of God in Luke chapter 11 and Mark chapter 4, calls it seeds. And when you plant the seeds in your heart, the seeds will grow. Amen? So, you know, I was thinking about the Ephesians 3:20 year we've been talking about. God will do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And we've got some pretty big things that we need to do around here as a church. And you know, I just don't even consider anymore. You can't consider thoughts that keep you from the plan of God. You can't consider, you got to consider what God said to do and find those scriptures and stand on those scriptures and believe those scriptures. Amen? And so you may be feeling the same way. You know, how can I do this, or my life's just over, or, you know, I don't know how I can ever be a success in life, or how I can even get started. No, God's word will change that. And Ephesians 3:20 says that God will do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or what? Think. And the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Amen. And I wrote this down. What meditation does is it will reset your boundaries. You see, where the enemy has programmed us, we can unprogram it. We can rewrite the script by the Word of God. We can transform and renew our mind. We can dream big dreams. But a lot of people aren't dreaming big dreams, whether it's the pandemic or all the things that have happened. They just kind of lay there, well, we're just whatever, we're going on in life, we'll see what happens. No, God wants you to set goals and dreams, and he wants you to do some big things, amen, for your life. He's given you some promises. He wants you to step into those promises, amen. God, and he never intended for you to wear yourself out in this life. And a lot of times we're wearing ourselves out. Oh, you know, we need to get this job and do that job and find this way. And how can I get a car? And how can I do this? And we're wearing our physical self out. And honestly, you know, if a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. And it's good to be a hard worker. You put your hand to the plow. You know what I'm saying? But we've left God out a lot of times in our believing God. We left the promises of God out. And instead of going before, well, I don't want to bother God with that. Well, God wants to be bothered. He's asked us to come to him. Come to me, all ye that are heavy. You know, he asks us constantly to come into prayer, to ask, to believe, to receive. God wants to have that relationship with us. He wants to show up, and he wants to show off. Amen? Look at this, Hebrews 4:2. With the children of Israel, it says, Hebrews 4:2 says, for we also have had the gospel preached to us just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them because those who heard did not combine it with faith. What are you doing with the message that you're hearing? Even you could be listening to messages on podcasts, on YouTube, you could be hearing messages all over the place. But what are you doing with what you're hearing? How are you acting on the Word of God? What do you, you know, what promises are you standing on? What are you believing God for? Amen? I hear people say a lot of times, I don't know, Pastor Judy. You know, my daughter's really messed up. I don't know, Pastor Judy. I don't, you know, I'm going to be evicted, or I don't know, Pastor Judy, this is happening, or I'm just so depressed. But in I give them the Word of God, you've got to take the Word of God. I wish that I could be your answer. I wish you could come to me and we just, oh yeah, we'll take care of that right now. I'm going to be the answer to everything. But we're not the answer to anything. God is. His word is. Amen? And I encourage you, you know, some of you haven't even tried it out. Some of you stepped to your feet into it a little bit. God wants to make you a champion in the Word of God. Amen. He wants to make you a victor and a conqueror. He's already done it. But we got to take his word, because we live in this world. Satan's the god of this world, and things happen. It's the Word of God that changes things. But faith will come by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Sounds like meditation to me. What about you? Hebrews 3:19 says this. So we see that they were not able to enter into his rest because of their unwillingness to adhere to and trust in and rely on God. Unbelief, this is what it says in the Amplified, unbelief had shut them out. And the only thing that will get rid of unbelief is the Word of God, is meditating on the Word of God, getting it in our heart, getting it in our eyes, hearing it with our ears, and doing something with it. Amen? Doing something with it. I'm telling you, many of us around here have put the Word of God to work, and we have seen miracles. We have seen God come through in mighty ways. And I'm telling you, these days, I don't think it doesn't take very, very long to see the manifestation of God. It doesn't take when you're determined to go and receive it. But unbelief caused the children of Israel not to go into the promises of God. And the atmosphere, we're going to see in just a minute here, the atmosphere that surrounded the children of Israel was an atmosphere of unbelief. God had done so many things for them. God opened the Red Sea. Oh my gosh. If I was standing somewhere and I was going to drown and God opened the Red Sea for me. I mean, we think to ourselves, how could we not believe God after that? How could we not believe we're going into the promised land after that? I mean, the walls they described, just walls of the ocean, just stood up. And yet they still doubted God. They still had unbelief. Every time they came into situation, they would still complain. So you know what? I'm telling you, when you start walking by faith, you're going to have to walk in a bubble. You're going to have to walk with your mind on something else than what is going on around you. Because if you're listening, if your diet is listening to the news and the opinion of men and not the Word of God, I don't think I want to live in this world like that. Because it just basically says everything's over. It's just crazy what's going on right now. But God is on the move. God is doing things. And you know what? We'll see the manifestation of what God is doing as we go in and we grab the Word of God and we take it and we believe it and we stand on it. Amen? Now, it's not how many scriptures you can memorize, although memorization is a good way to get started meditating. That's how I got started meditating a long time ago, and I restarted that again. It's not about, oh, I can memorize 100 scriptures, you know? You know, I can memorize, by the stripes of Jesus I am healed. He bore my sicknesses. He carried my pains. You know, all of these different scriptures that we have in Proverbs and Psalms and Psalms 91, I bet a lot of you have that memorized. But it's not how many you can memorize, although, like I said, memorizes is, it's a good start, but it's the depth of the scripture that's going to change the image inside of you. It's the depth of the scripture that's going to bring us into the promises of God. It's taking time with a scripture, just getting a couple of seeds, taking time with what God says and thinking on it and muttering on it and thanking God for it, that it belongs to you. And, you know, I am more than a conqueror. A lot of people don't think they're more than a conqueror. They don't even think they're a conqueror. But you are a conqueror. We're not a conqueror based on what the world is telling us. We're a conqueror based on what God is telling us. And when we learn to call those things that are not as though they are, like the Bible says, things will change. Amen? And a lot of times, the first time you hear the Word of God, it's information. What do you mean? I can be healed? I can be blessed? I don't have to be depressed. I don't have to, my marriage can be hit. The first time, it's like information when you start hearing the Word of God. God loves me. Honestly, when I got saved, that's what changed my life. I couldn't believe that God loved me. It was just, oh my gosh, I can be me. I remember thinking, I can be me. God loves me. It just changed my life forever. God loves you. He loves you. He went to the cross for you. But the first time you hear it, a lot, the Word of God, it's information. And then when you meditate it and you think about it, all of a sudden you get revelation. And when you get revelation, that's God speaking to you. When something jumps off those pages, you're like, oh, that is so awesome. That's God speaking to you. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you, revealing the Word of God. How many of you had those revelations? They're just so awesome. I love that time. And that's what we want to do. Because when, and then when we meditate, we get revelation. Now that the next place is the manifestation of the promise of God. So you go from information to revelation to meditation. I didn't rhyme that on purpose. I just heard that. Nobody's rhyming, but that's just the way that works. Amen. And when we meditate, it's and we get revelation. That's now like a symbol of what we believe. That revelation. Okay, and now I believe that. In other words, we're all designed to believe what we see. Oh, I saw that guy break into the car. You go into court and they say, how do you know that he did that? Well, I saw them. But you know what? You see something that's in the physical. But in the spirit, when you catch a revelation, you see what God has promised. You see what God has said. You see the plan of God. You see the healing. You see the blessing. You see whatever it is, that seed that is that you're planting on the inside of you. Amen. And God planned for you to see something, for me to see something, things that the world can't see. Isn't that true? Jesus talked about that in the Gospels. Now let's look at Proverbs chapter 4. Are you getting something out of this tonight? I hope so. I believe so. It says, my son, God's talking, and he says, my son, attend to my words. And that word attend, you know what it means? It means pay attention. Pay attention to my words. God's saying, pay attention to my words. Not the news of man, but my words. Consent and submit to my saying. And then he goes on. This is how important it is to us. This is God's plan, not my plan. This is the Bible. And he said, don't let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the center of your heart. For they are life to those who find them. They're healing and health to all their flesh. You know, people say, well, God healed us in the spirit, but I don't believe it's God's will to heal our flesh. But my Bible tells me that God's word is healing and health to all of my flesh. Amen. And you know, I know people wonder, why aren't I healed? Why? You know what? There's a process that needs to take place. We've been living in this world a long time. There are things that happen in this world. Sickness comes in this world. Accidents happen. Things happen. The enemy is out there working. But we can take the word of God and we can reverse that. Amen? He says in verse 23, keep and guard your heart with all vigilance, and above all that you guard, for out of it flows the springs or the issues of life. Issues of life. If you know, if I could substitute the word issues, I would substitute it for the word boundary. You might think this is a little crazy, but or border. Out of it is the border or the boundary of life. It says, keep and guard all with all vigilance, and above all that you guard, for out of it flows the boundaries of life. You know, we have to set a border around our heart so that we don't let the world get in. We don't let the opinions of man get in. But we keep our heart guarded with the word of God. Amen? Hallelujah. It says, put away from you false and dishonest speech, willful and contrary talk put far from you. And I love this scripture. Let your eyes look right on with fixed purpose, and let your gaze be straight before you. Amen? So it's important. Honestly, how far you can go in the image that you have of yourself is going to come out of your heart. And he's saying, pay attention to my word. Guard it. Put it in your heart. Keep it before your eyes. Because that's how it's going to change the image of who you are in Christ, that God really does love you. You know, the Apostle Paul in Acts 28, do you remember when he was traveling and the viper bit him? And all that, you know, they looked at him, everybody looked at him, and they said, oh, he's a murderer. He's going to die. He's a bad person. And the Apostle Paul, he shook that viper off. You know what? Because he knew who he was in Christ. He knew that God had told him to do something, and no weapon formed against him was going to prosper. Nothing was going to harm him. He just shook that off. How many of us, if we got bit by a viper or we got a disease, you know, immediately, if we're filled with the word, it'll change the way we react. But when we're not, immediately fear comes in, things come in. If I was bit for a viper, I'd be, oh, we got to get to the hospital. We got to find the antidote. Ah. Come on, I wouldn't be the only one doing that, right? How many of you would, really, how many of you are in the place where you would just shake the viper off? And just keep going on. Let's just go on. But that's a good place to get to, isn't it? That's a good place to get to it. Amen? They saw him to keep doing what he was doing. And you know, his boundary was nothing could affect him. Nothing could hurt him. You know, like I said, things happen in life. Certain situations arise. But, and honestly, here Paul was doing the will of God, and he gets bit by a viper. Why didn't God protect him? Why didn't that happen? You know, I think we think that nothing is gonna happen to us. But if it does, we have the promises of God to overcome it. And honestly, we can prevent it. How many times when you walk out of your house do you confess the word of God? No accident will befall me. No plague shall come nigh my dwelling. No sickness will befall me. No harm. Nothing by any means shall hurt. We pray over our house. We pray over a car. We pray when we get on the road. We just speak the word of God. It's important to do that. Amen? But things happen, but it doesn't mean that that's the end. Amen? Paul didn't get scared. He didn't say, oh no, I'm gonna die. He didn't talk about how painful it was going to be. He just knew who he was. That's what meditation can do. That's what meditating on the word. When you first start memorizing a scripture or meditating or thinking about what it says, when I meditate on a scripture, I'll read it and it'll just, I'll catch revelation and I'll go, oh, I got to look this up in the Amplified. I got to look it up in the New Living. I got to look it up over here. I got to, you know, and then my last thing, I go to my husband and say, is this right? Or am I just imagining, is this script, am I right on target here? You know? And it's just so exciting when you get that and you start meditating because God is speaking to you. Amen? Hallelujah. So people that don't know God, they have no answer for what things that come their way. But we have an answer. And that cool thing is, it's not just for us, but it's for the rest of the world. Amen? So we want results. We want to see transformation in our life. Oh, some people say, Pastor Judy, I cannot overcome this. I have struggled with this for years. But the Bible says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. When you hide God's word in your heart, when I got rid of those drugs, and I didn't let the people in church know what I was doing, you know. I was just showing up high, you know, just doing my thing. But that night, I was always in the Word of God. Even though I was high, I was always in the Word of God. But that night, the Holy Spirit, because I was hiding God's Word, I wanted to live for God. I wanted to do the right thing. I began to think, this isn't right. This is wrong. You know, I was ashamed to let anybody know. And that night, driving down the road, the Holy Spirit came on me, and he said, now's the time. You need to get your stash out. And I started thinking, who can I bring this to? You know, who can I give it away to? But the Holy Spirit said, and when he speaks, he'll speak specifically. He'll speak normal, you know? And he said, just empty it out the window. Open it and empty it out the window. And I did, and I was delivered that night. Of drugs. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. Now you say, well, are we going to be perfect? Absolutely not. But we keep putting the word in our heart and we keep growing in the word. Amen? And we keep growing. We grow from glory to glory. But meditation brings transformation. And honestly, you know, I learned to meditate. I was just saved, going on a mission trip. And I met Pastor Ed on the mission, and we went to the mission field. He God told him I was going to be his wife, but I was engaged to be married. I wasn't even interested. I was just interested in the word. And he had a Kenneth Hagin Bible, and we met one day on the mission field, and he said, this is how you meditate the word. And he began to show me scriptures, and I would go all night long on just one scripture. You know, behold, I'm going to, Isaiah 43:19, and there were so many other scriptures, but just meditating on the word of God, and it brought transformation. Amen? Transformation. It'll bring transformation in your finances, your health, your situations, your home, because that's God's way. That's the way he set it up. And now, let me tell you this. While I read devotions, I do read devotions, that is not meditation. Those are great. They'll give you a good lift. Amen? But you got to pick out out of the word of God, a couple of words of scriptures that are going to be seeds, amen, that when they hit your heart, the ground inside of you will start growing that seed, amen, and you stay with it. Sometimes, somebody said, well, it's boring, Pastor Judy. You keep saying that. They catch it at first, and they catch a revelation, but after a couple of times of meditating, I don't want to meditate. I want to get on to something else. No, don't stop until you see the results. Don't stop until you see the answer. Amen? The sower soweth the word. Now, I'm going to close with this. I want to look at Numbers chapter 13, and many of you know the story that they were getting ready to go into the promised land. And it was a land flowing with milk and honey. And I'm telling you, God has a promised land for you. He has a land flowing with milk and honey. And so God brought them up to where the promised land was, but they sent spies out to spy out the land. They were ready to go in and take the promises of God. And so they told Moses, we came to the land to which you sent us. This is what the spies said. Surely it flows with milk and honey. This is its fruit. Surely God's word is filled with promises. It's filled with milk and honey. It's filled with the answer that you need in any situation. It's filled with the wisdom that you need. It's filled with the success that you need. It's filled with him. Amen? And they said, surely it flows with milk and honey. This is its fruit. But the people who dwell there are strong, and the cities are fortified. Now they begin to look at the natural circumstances. And the cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, there we saw the sons of Anak of great stature and courage. There were giants in the city. Verse 29, Amalek dwells in the land of the south. The Hittite, the Jebusite, and the Amorite dwell in the hill country. And the Canaanite dwells by the sea and along by the side of the Jordan River. But in verse 30, the Bible talks about Caleb having a spirit of faith. Because Caleb believed God. Caleb quieted the people before Moses, and he said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to conquer it. You know, sometimes God tells us to do something. You got to obey God quick. Sometimes it just doesn't seem, I can't do that, or I don't want to do that. But he said, let's go at once, for we are well able. Caleb saw something different. Because he had the word of God on it. He said, God says we're well able to go up and conquer it. We're well able to go up and conquer it. So he had a different image. He believed God. But his fellow scouts said, we're not able to go up against the people of Canaan. They're stronger than we are. This is what they saw. They saw giants. So they brought the Israelites an evil report of the land. And all the congregation, it's like Pastor Red getting up here and saying, hey, let's take the land. Let's go forward now. It's just like when we moved into Norwell and we went from $3,000 a month to $15,000 a month. And we were just like, you know, it would be like somebody coming saying, you're sure you know what you're doing? Oh my gosh, you better not do that. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, listen, we got to fight those unbelieving devils ourselves, amen, and those unbelieving thoughts. And that's what they did. They, instead of believing, they brought back an evil report, and the people believed the evil report. So it says, the land which we sent to spy it out, it is a land that devours its inhabitants. Boy, they were exaggerating. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. But then there we saw the Nephilim of the giants, the sons of Anak, who come from the giants. Look how they saw themselves. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. Amen? See, the image has to change from the inside out. And Caleb, he had the right image. He had the right word. He believed God. Amen? You're either a champion or you're not. Now watch them, watch this. Watch them meditate this. So they come and they tell them all of this stuff, right? So in verse 14, look at this. Verse 1. And it says, and all the congregation cried out with a loud voice, and they wept all night. They wept that night. They meditated on that all night. They didn't meditate on what Caleb said, that we are well able, we can do this. They meditated. They wept all night long. And all the Israelites grumbled and deplored their situation. And they begin to accuse Moses and Aaron. They blamed them for where they were at, to whom the whole congregation said, would that we had died in Egypt or that we had died in the wilderness. Why does the Lord, now here they're blaming God, bring us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will be praised. They went on with their imaginations and they begin to meditate on the worst scenarios. Our little ones are going to be prey. Is it not better for us to return to Egypt? And they just went on and on. And so they ended up eating the bad seed. People are finding it harder and harder today to believe that all things are possible to them that believe. And it shouldn't be getting harder on us. It should be, we should be catching it more. Amen? I want you to catch these two things in closing. Number one, let me find number one. I don't think I wrote number one on it. But I want you to remember this. When you meditate the Word of God, you go from information to revelation, to manifestation, because revelation will build faith that will bring you to manifestation. If you wonder why you have no faith, when was the last time you meditated? When was the last time? I remember years ago when the word of faith came on the scene. Everybody was so on fire. They were making scripture cards. They put them on their bathroom windows or bathroom mirrors. They put them on their walls. How many of you saw the movie The War Room? And they put things up, and people were so on fire, and people were believing God, and lives were changing, and people, they were getting new homes. They were being healed. They took the word of God, and they began to catch this revelation. Their lives were changing. Number two, meditation is designed to reset the boundaries in our lives. What do I mean by that? When you're coming into a situation or a circumstances, and then you have certain thoughts about it, but maybe that circumstance or that situation seems to be impossible. There's no way. This person, Nathan, will never change. Those are the things we say. We say that about our kids. We say it about different things, our husbands. It'll never change. No. We have to change that. Amen? So we come into a circuit, we have certain thoughts, but we need to remove those boundaries. Amen? We put boundaries that things are not possible. But the way that we do this is through meditation in the Word of God. Amen? It is one of the most powerful things. We all believe, every single one of us, we believe for blessings, and the worship team can come. We believe for blessings to overtake us. We believe that every seed we've ever sown to explode and bring an abundant harvest and the promises of God to produce wonderful results. Amen? However, catch this. If we are just bumping along, enjoying the blessings without developing our spiritual muscle, stretching and growing at the same time, it's only a matter of time till we sadly realize that we are not prepared, needing to rescue ourselves. You gotta quit bumping along. You got to on purpose. And we're going to talk about this some more. There's so many places in the Word of God. We're going to talk about planting that seed and harvesting. Why is the Word of God called a seed? Does every seed that you know have the power to produce in the world, natural seed? Is it not true? Well, how much more powerful when God says His word will produce if we put that seed on the inside of us? And it's not just flippantly, you know? Just, you know, you got to meditate. You got to have a revelation of it. Man, when we get in the car now, I don't see them, but I almost imagine that they're angels. I'll say, if we get close to something, I'll go, wow, that angel, he must have got really squeezed tight on that one, you know, or something like that. You start catching things and talking about it like it's your normal way of life. Does that mean you don't go to doctors and you don't go and you don't take care of things? That's not true. But with God's word, amen, you can overcome anything. We can overcome the giants that are facing us. We can overcome the situations. But there's that thinking on God's word, meditating on it. Hey, listen, I know you can all get up 15 minutes earlier and meditate on one scripture. You know? And just start by memorizing it. Put it on a card. Say it 3 times a day. Read it before you go to bed at night. You know, years ago, you know, people, they had those disciplines. And that's why we saw people we saw faith arise. That's when, you know, I don't know when you got the revelation of faith, but how long have we been married? 43 years ago, we got married. That revelation had come on the scene so big. Kenneth Hagin and Kenneth Copeland, and I know a lot of people don't like those names, but man, they've changed my life because they taught the Word of God that changed and transformed my life. Nobody's perfect around here, amen? Charles Capps, a lot of these men, and we would go, and it made you so hungry because you started to see results. We started believing God. We believed Him for a microwave. We believed Him for a car. We came back here. Every single thing we did, we didn't even have cable TV. Every single thing we did it. We're gonna cut out pictures and believe for our first bookstore. And we did, because we knew nobody was learning what we were learning, and we wanted to have a bookstore. We moved into a house. People thought we were crazy. It was the most rundown house, but we didn't care. We needed to get out of my mom's house. And we just, Battleship Gray, we didn't know we could afford it or anything. But every single thing we did, the church we bought in Abington, some of you have been along the thing, and we sit and we talk about this, and we'd like to say with our hand, we were, you know, and we did work a lot, but honestly, it was by the hand of God. And I'm telling you, He wants to do things in your home that haven't been done yet. He wants to bring the impossibilities and make them, He wants to make the impossibilities possible. Amen? But you got to do something with the word. You got to honor the word. Take it, put it in your heart. And I preach too long, but I just want you to catch that. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. You get something out of tonight. I know you're not going to lie to me, so if you got something, say you did. Hallelujah. I want you to stand with me.